At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Welcome to Lifeline. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Eric Miller. Eric, are you ready to do this?
Thanks for having me. I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
All right, let's go. Eric is a co-owner of PADT. They're a company that makes innovation work by providing engineering services and tools. He is an engineer, a writer, a 3D printer, speaker, podcaster, angel investor, and he's the man that helped me become a professional podcaster many years ago. Welcome back on, Eric.
Well, thank you for having me on. I always love to have chats. Always walking away learning something and thinking about something a little bit differently. So it's good.
I like it. Well, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and tell us why you do what you do.
So personal life-wise, I have achieved empty nester status. And I think official empty nester status, like, they're not coming back this summer. You know, the first summer in college, came home, pretty much he's looking for a job and the other one's graduating. So it's kind of nice. We're adapting. My wife and I are adapting and, you know, it's kind of nice. We have to say, I've got the entire upstairs to myself now, so, it's enjoyable, but that's a big change in my personal life. professionally, you know, I think just kind of dealing with all the change and trying to make heads or tails of everything that's going on, good and bad, right? We've been through COVID, we've been through the reaction to COVID, we've been through, you know, and I know we don't agree on economic principles, but we cut taxes and we dumped a shitload of money into the economy. And that caused things to go a little haywire, inflation, anybody. And it's just a little weird out there, unpredictable. Politics are unpredictable. And so just trying to hang on and make sense of the chaos.
Yeah. And your business has been growing pretty consistently.
Consistently, but unpredictably. Kind of back to that chaos, right? Parts of our business that we saw that we thought would do very well, didn't. And parts of our business that we were kind of like, oh, let's hope it does okay, blew up. And again, it goes back to all these contrasting economic stimuli out there. And maybe more importantly, business emotional stimuli, right? So people are making, there's no such thing as a rational consumer, right? Whether it's business to business or business to consumer. And they're making decisions that I don't understand. I don't think they do. They're panicking. They see an opportunity that maybe isn't there, but they don't want to miss out, or they're panicking because they think everything's going to go to hell. And it's kind of all over the place. And so we really don't know where things are going, but they're going. Lot of what I love is huge increase in our business around space. So both government and commercial space. And as a nerd and an engineer and a Star Trek fan and all those things, it's wonderful to see the amount of growth in the space industry and see how it's affecting other industries as well. Seeing it trickle around and do things. And then the other area that we're seeing a lot of growth in is kind of the modernization of transportation around electrification and kind of getting back into the hydrogen economy. That we were big in that 15, 20 years ago, and it's kind of coming back because in the long run, it's hydrogen that's the answer, not electrical. And so we're really excited about that. And really good to be a part of that change and that trend, and hoping companies can learn how to do things more efficiently as they upgrade their, whether it's an airplane or a car or a scooter or even a bicycle.
Hydrogen powered scooters.
Oh, someday, right? The Jetsons will come. The Jetsons had everything right. We're going to get there. I want a hydrogen powered Vespa.
Okay. There it is.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. So the assumption stereotype of an engineer is very, very logical. Do you think that that's fair?
I'll say there's two kinds of engineers. There are creative engineers and there's the obsessive compulsive engineers, logical engineers. You know, both like solving problems, both like analyzing things. But the logical one tends to like to stick with the math and stay away from emotion and stay away from creativity. And this is the process. We're going to write down the process. We're going to follow the process. And they're very important. And then there's the creative ones, the people that the Steve Jobses and the Elon Musks of the world clam onto and build empires around.
And talking about dealing with all this change, hanging on, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, we expect it's going to go great here, but it goes the opposite, this, yeah. that, and the other thing. How do you think how much engineering are you doing on a day-to-day basis versus being the leader, being the Steve Jobs versus the person who's making the actual widget thing?
Yeah, I need to find somebody other than Steve Jobs because I'm not that. very little, which is a shame. I get to do a little bit. Every once in a while, I'll be on a meeting as a manager, and then it'll get into the weeds a little bit, and I jump right in. And it's kind of fun. I did that yesterday with a customer, and talked about some kind of esoteric simulation stuff, which I love. But in general, I'm more on the operations side of things. I'm lucky. And so I run the consulting team here at PADT. So we have three verticals. We have a sales and support team. We have a consulting team, and then we've got a manufacturing team, and we have three owners. Each of us manages a certain profit center. I do the consulting team. I have lesson learned in business, hire somebody to work for you that's better than you. And so Tyler Shaw is our VP of engineering. And so he does the leadership stuff wonderfully. So I can focus more on strategic. I can focus more on building pipeline. And then on the operation side of running the company as a whole. So I do a lot of that, facilities and HR and IT and things like that.
Got it. And going now, you know, I don't know where we are, if we're past tough times or we're just in a different tough time kind of a thing, but COVID, looking back on these 3 or 4 years or 10 years, however long it's been, what did you do well? And what did you say, oh, wow, you know what? I need to sort of up my game in certain areas, if any.
I got to say, we did a really good job. We're lucky in that this kind of, you know, virtual communication was something we've been using for, you know, probably over a decade before COVID hit, because we have so many customers around the world and so many large aerospace customers, they've been using these kind of tools for a long time. And we already had a considerable number of employees that were remote. So we were able to adapt fairly quickly. And we were already communicating through. My biggest fear was losing culture and losing connection. And so we really, really focused on doing that. Like every Friday we watched an old black and white TV show. I would go find something on YouTube like Lucy or Ironside or, you know, some cheesy Lone Ranger, whatever it was. And we would just eat our lunch and watch that together. And not everybody attended, but those that did, it was kind of nice. And in some ways, because we were forced to deal with getting together, we did. Now that pressure is off, we're kind of struggling with it. We're not doing it as much. So I think we did that really well. What we probably didn't do well enough is recognizing, and maybe nobody knew how long it was going to be. So we kept on making temporary adjustments. And they've eventually become permanent. And even though we don't need those anymore, it's kind of for many employees, it's become the preferred way of doing their job. And more importantly, many of our customers, like we'd have two or three customers visit a day before COVID. And now we get two or three a week, maybe. They don't they wanted to come. They wanted to meet people face to face. They wanted to see the equipment. They wanted to see the computers. They don't care anymore. So I think we should have accepted that sooner. We kept up the infrastructure, thinking people were going to come back, and maybe they will. But we've got a really nice demo room that basically is dusty. So we'll see how it changes. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we did wrong.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
One of the biggest struggles we had is it was politicized, right? And so being a logical engineer, we just kind of dealt with it, the facts. This is what the CDC says. This is a recommendation. This is the state. This is what the state law says. We're just going to follow. We basically just copy and pasted what was put out there. Some people didn't think that was enough. And just as many people thought that was way too much. And I don't think I understood how emotionally invested people became in the politicization of it. You know, wearing a mask became a statement about who you were, right? And which is a shame, but it did. And people would get snitty if someone wasn't wearing their mask. And by the same token, if someone wore a mask, you know, you're a loser. And it was not, we have good people, so it never got unpleasant. But there was tension there that I wish we could have found a way to handle and kind of be a little bit more mature about it across the board.
Yeah. Well, when you figure that one out, Eric, you got to let the rest of us know.
I don't know. I just don't know. It was unpleasant. And we were all just emotional wrecks, right? Regardless of how you dealt with it, it was a difficult time. And some of our employees lost family members from COVID. And that really brought home and made it really emotional. It didn't change which side of that political debate they were on, funny enough, but it really did make it real for us. Unpleasant.
Do you think that was a sign of that reaction of sort of taking sides on it? Mm-hmm. Masks are stupid, masks are really important. Mm-hmm. Is that just the human experience, or was this evidence of sort of the canary in the coal mine, that things are getting worse? Is that, or is it just the way it's always been?
Well, I think it was even worse than that. I think it was masks are stupid and you hate people because you're not wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like that. It was like, you want people to die because you're not wearing a mask. And I'm a mask wearer. I'm on that side of the camp. I think so. I plan on wearing them when I get colds in the future. It's a nice thing to do, but I think it was always there. And I think that we, after World War II, until maybe a decade or so ago, maybe a little bit longer, we kind of lived in a golden age where we kind of lived by these principles that we were taught in kindergarten, right? About listening to others and being kind and giving people space and helping each other and all those wonderful things. You know, the golden rule, I'm a big golden rule person. I think a lot of people kind of live by the golden rule. They may not agree with wearing masks or not wearing masks, but they felt like, you know, I want to be treated the way that kind of all got thrown out the window. I think that's the normal. I think being kind of selfish, petty people is normal. And we got away from it and we kind of drifted back, and maybe psychologists will figure out why. I think it's easy to be a good person when the standard of living is going up for everybody and everybody's got a shot at the golden ring and everybody feels they got a chance. And maybe part of it is there's a significant part of the population that feels like things are getting worse and not better. And maybe that's the reaction. I don't know, but it's definitely, I've never seen people get so angry with each other over things that in the past would just be like, eh, I don't agree with you.
Right. It's interesting. In terms of something I've been thinking about a lot lately are having, holding yourself to personal standards. And mm-hmm. it strikes me that you and your business operate by standards all the time out of necessity. Mm-hmm. Otherwise people will probably die.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. The Canadians, they do a lot of cool things. And one of the cool things they do in engineering is when you graduate with an engineering degree in Canada, you join the Order of the Ring. And if you ever meet a Canadian engineer, they've got a little steel ring around their pinky. Hmm. It is made from steel of a bridge that failed because the engineer didn't check his calculations.
Hmm.
And he divided by two instead of multiply by two. I can't remember the story, but they built the bridge. People were on it. It fell. People died. And so you put it on your writing hand. So not that we write anymore, but I guess I should probably hang it. If I had one, I'd hang it from my computer, but, or my keyboard. But the idea is, why you're doing calculations, you remember that. Right. And I thought that was a really poignant way of pointing out that, you know, what we do does matter. Sometimes, I mean, we just finished a project that for a local inventor that was a dog toy for PetSmart, right? It's really cool. It's a blue ball, helping her get this shape just right. And I'm not sure if that's life-threatening if we do that wrong. But at the same time, we're working on a valve for a rocket engine, right? And if that valve fails, that rocket could blow up, and it's an unmanned rocket, but it could land on somebody's house or something like that, right? So yeah, it's there. It's real. You have to keep that in mind. You have to have a little bit of, you know, ethics in mind. And what's the impact of what I'm doing, and why is it important? And it's hard sometimes, because that's why I kind of like the ring that the Canadians did, because it reminded you, we love the process, and we get kind of wrapped up in the process, and we forget that, oh, this is a medical device, you know, and it could cause harm or save a life. And it's important. And even if we weren't doing stuff like that, I still think it's important. Maybe I take too much from what I learned in kindergarten to heart, but I do think it's one of our core philosophies is to we started the company. Before we started the company, we came up with some core philosophies we wanted to base the company on. And because we were coming out of a soulless corporate nightmare, we wanted to where shareholder value, quarterly shareholder value, was the only thing that mattered, and it wasn't hidden. That was stated, that, you know, we wanted to do things with integrity, you know, it's new employees, we kind of brainwash them around that as well, and have said to customers, we're not going to do this, right? Because we don't think it's the right thing to do. And it's tough because they're paying you, but you're going to do the right thing.
I love that Order of the Ring.
Isn't that awesome?
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get one in the US. There's a couple of organizations that do it in the US, but I just thought that was super clever.
Yeah. The foresight to grab some of the metal and a lot of it.
Yeah. You know, how much is still there is a good question. When you die, you're supposed to send your ring back, and they melt it into the pot. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah. Canadians have time for that sort of thing. They're not as focused on achieving things as we are. They're a little more thoughtful about life.
Well, yes. And I mean, you talking about how you were super intentional about watching the black and white video on Fridays. Mm-hmm. And when COVID started and we were getting locked down, you started a networking group just virtually.
I missed that.
Lots of people in Phoenix. So that to me says Eric is a guy who appreciates consistency and scheduling and creating opportunity for people to come together.
I'll tell you the origin story on that, 'cause it's a good one. A friend of mine who is a facilitator for corporate, you know, team building, right? He's the guy that brings the flip charts and talk about how you can make work a better world, right? And it died, right? COVID, he couldn't do that anymore. So he's like, I got to go online. And so he called a bunch of friends and former customers and said, you know, well, can we play doing one of these sessions that I do with, say, like his biggest customer is Nike. And so we did. And one of the things he said was, what is your COVID nickname? And I had thought, he told us the questions beforehand and I'd come up with something very, very clever and very impressive. And at the last minute, when he asked me, I said, the connector. Just out of the blue. Like, so what I really want to do when we're locked down, and it's, I know a lot of people, and if I can connect folks, I could do that. And so the next day I came up with the idea of doing the virtual networking, and went through a lot of very ugly iterations because the technology wasn't quite there yet. But ended up, and also people only knew how to use Zoom and I was using Microsoft and it was painful, but eventually it went well. It was something that everybody looked forward to every week. And then when we could leave our houses, I thought we'd keep doing it. Nope. Nobody wants, everybody's busy. Nobody does it anymore. But when you're stuck at home and it's watch another series on Netflix or go talk with people upstairs, people would go upstairs.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And I think that makes all sense in the world. And that you certainly are. What was the clever, super profound name that you had come up with, Eric?
Before it was the connector. Oh, okay. The one before?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I forgot. And I wrote about it in the Business Journal, and I went through my notes, and I swear I wrote it down somewhere on a piece of paper. I went through my desk and everything because I was very impressed with myself.
Right.
And, yeah. And I totally forgot what it was.
Oh, that's a very, very human thing to do right there. I love it. Well, Eric, thank you so much for coming back on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they connect with you?
So the company, the sign above, which just happens to be placed right above my head, our company is PADT, and you can Google us that way, or you can look and go to our website, which is PADTINC, PADTinc.com. You can find out more about me by going to the LinkedIn and look up Eric Miller. PADT is the best way to find me. There's a lot of Eric Millers on there. And then even in Phoenix. And then, if you subscribe to the Business Journal or you don't subscribe to the Business Journal, you should. If you do business in Arizona, you should subscribe to the Business Journal and read my monthly articles. I just finished a great series on places to go and visit in the state, like touristy or business-wise. It was a lot of fun to write that, and some good suggestions in there, like where to do a business meeting around town. Just finished that, those six stories. And then I write about all sorts of stuff. Some of the stuff we talked about today, I write about on there. So do check out the article.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Eric your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to PADTINC.com or just enter PADT into your favorite search engine. LinkedIn, Eric, E-R-I-C, Miller, PADT. You'll find him that way. And then if you are a Phoenician here in the Arizona area, check out the Business Journal and check out Eric's monthly article that he does. Yeah. Thanks again, Eric.
Thank you very much. Always a joy. Have a great rest of the year.
And until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.